From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. We'll talk a good bit of Ole Miss football today, as yesterday was quite the transfer Tuesday. Jim Harbaugh in town and his Michigan Jet. I saw he took Deontay Anderson to IHOP, amongst other Oxford locations.
I saw the jet take off.
Yeah,
leaving. It was a cool looking jet, and I give credit.
Yeah, it's amazing blue.
It was pretty.
Yeah. So we'll discuss that today. When's basketball play again, Neil?
Saturday night.
Okay.
Middle Tennessee.
So not till Saturday with basketball. Plenty of time to get around to that at some point, but we'll talk a good bit of football and the Ole Miss program today. The podcast brought to you, as always, by the Oxford Exxon. Highway 6 West in Oxford. So I've been telling you the last few days, remember to get your turkey or your ham smoked at the Oxford Exxon. Get it expertly cooked. Save you time, and for as little as $15, you can have that out of the way and let you enjoy your family and the holiday season. Also, 49-cent bottomless refills at the Oxford Exxon and all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. Easy way to stay refreshed throughout these winter months. Finally, the rain is out. It's incredibly cold, finally. It feels like winter, but the rain is out of Oxford, and a good time to make the short drive to Clark Ford in Amory for your new vehicle.
662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number, you ask for Corey Clark at Clark Ford in Amory. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can shop it, or you can shop the quote, or you can I'm sorry. I got several emails just that popped up right there. You can shop the quote, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of this podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the car buying experience. You're going to get a great new Ford. You are probably going to get an even better quote in December than you would get most months, because the end of the year is near. Corey and all car dealers everywhere are motivated to move vehicles off their lots, so you can take advantage of that, and then we'll make it even better. Tell Corey at the end of the deal, say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our family of podcasts, and you will save an additional $500.
Make everybody feel better this morning. You know, we have a natural love for Texas A&M. We've exhibited that many times on the podcast throughout the years. The tradition of the yell leaders and the mascot and the band and the swaying press box and all that is Texas A&M University, with Jimbo Fisher and his $75 million contract over
guaranteed
10 years. Guaranteed. This from a Texas A&M message board this morning. I'm hoping it's a joke. I really am, for the sake of all humanity.
No, it's not a joke.
Neil believes it is factual.
I don't want it to be a joke. It is not a joke. This is real life. This is their – listen, I have self-esteem issues. Things like this help me, because it makes me think there is at least one person out there, at least one, who is a bigger loser than I. This helps.
So this person, screenshot, I saw it because Red Cup Rebellion quote tweeted it on Twitter this morning. They have 2,694 posts on this platform. I'd kind of like to read more of them, frankly. Says, talking about the initial press conference or gathering or whatever it is with Jimbo Fisher. Quote, is Reveille there? That's the dog. I am interested to see if Reveille and Fisher have a natural bond and if Fisher willingly reaches out. Reveille is a huge part of our university and football program, so if she has an instant affinity for Coach Fisher, I think that will speak volumes to our recruits. If you could, please take and post video of their initial encounter. Any still shots of Coach Fisher petting Reveille would also be appreciated. We prefer it taken from the side so I can see as much as possible of both their faces. If I am that four-star left tackle in Allen or Manville, I'm really eager to see how Jimbo and the K-9 interact during his first meeting with the A&M mascot. Wow. It's good. It's I mean, Neil always says that you judge people by how they interact with dogs. So really, you're more in line with this A&M poster than you first believed.
Yes. Yes. Indeed. I'm for it. I want to see how Jimbo gets along with the collie.
Do you?
I do.
What if he ignored the collie? I mean, would they take back the $75 million if, like, Jimbo saw the dog and was like, get away? Like, just stared over the dog's head.
It's too late now.
It's guaranteed, baby. What if he hated the dog? How much fun would that be if Jimbo hated the dog?
If he kicked it.
Well, it's like kick the dog.
I don't mean like kick it hard. I mean like kick it away. Shoo it away.
Yeah, I mean,
Jimbo says, I don't like dogs.
See, I think Reveille's an incredibly overrated mascot.
Yeah, it's a collie.
It's not a great mascot.
No, I mean,
in the SEC hierarchy, it's not a top three mascot.
Oh, not even close.
So
it's no lower than 13th. What's Ole Miss gonna name the shark? By the way,
I don't know. Is it Tony? Is it Tony Fine?
That's right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
You're Mike the Tiger over Ugga, aren't you?
Oh yes.
You're Mike the Tiger first.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ugga gets, like, cool points, but, I mean, he wore a tuxedo to the Heisman ceremony. That's pretty good.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
But, no, Mike the Tigers.
Mike wins.
Badass.
Yeah. Mike's fun.
When you're judging mascots with Auburn's mascot, is it the Eagle, which is cool, is you know what, or is it Aubie, who's one of the better animated mascots in the country?
If I have a live mascot option, I'm judging by the live mascot. So I'm judging by the eagle, and frankly, I'm dropping points from Auburn because of the tiger being their primary mascot. You have the eagle that does the thing and is really cool. Be the war eagles.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
Because, I mean, tigers are the most generic mascot in college athletics.
Unless you bust out a real live tiger, at which point people go, ooh.
That's different.
When you go to LSU and you get to see Mike in the big habitat and stuff, that's cool, man, right in the center of campus. I'm sorry. You can hate LSU all you want to, people, but that is cool.
Where do you rate Florida since they don't have a live alligator that I'm aware of?
I don't really blame them for that. No, what Florida does, and Arkansas does it too, is they have to do – they have – The male alligator and the female alligator.
Al and Allie,
which is a little overkill. Like, are they a couple? Are they brother, sister?
You need more clarification?
A little bit.
You need a backstory here?
Yeah, I mean, how did they meet? What's the extent of their relationship? Is it platonic?
Yeah. I mean, brother, sister, probably if it's Al and Allie, right?
I mean, I would assume.
I mean, like if I was named Al, I would almost like not marry a girl if her name was Allie, just out of principle.
But if you're a gator,
kind of weird me out.
If you're an alligator
bit.
And you have a kid, I mean, you're probably going to name it Al. It just makes sense. Al E. Gator.
Al E. Gator.
Yeah. Or Allie Gator.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably not going to name it like Maurice or Lance or something.
Tim. Steve.
Yeah. Steve the Gator doesn't have the same ring as Allie Gator.
Alabama does not high up there. They don't have a real elephant.
God, that'd be unbelievable if they did.
Arkansas should have a real boar, frankly.
Haven't they had a real?
Have they had a real boar?
I thought they've had a real one.
Okay. They should have a boar.
Like they have it in a thing.
They should. If they don't, they should.
Yeah.
They should do a Ralphie thing and run the stupid boar out on the field.
That'd be scary.
It's fine. It's small.
Yeah.
Ignore the tusk.
The buffalo is cool.
It is the coolest mascot in college football.
It's really cool.
It's the coolest mascot. You like Bevo a lot, as much as you hate Texas.
I do hate Texas, but I do like the big Bevo.
You got your picture made with Bevo when he was here.
I did.
Big Longhorns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of made me feel small.
Doesn't take much, does it?
No. No, it does not.
Yeah. TysonDrugs.com. No, I'm kidding. So, I'm more talking mascots to keep everybody off the main point, trying to drive people crazy today. We will discuss Ole Miss now. I don't know. I'm in a weirdly good mood today. I can't really figure it out. I took a muscle relaxer last night and actually slept and woke up okay. So
two nights in a row you're taking those.
The prescription says take one nightly at bedtime.
How many you got?
Taking one nightly at bedtime.
How many you got?
I have 28 more, and I have a couple refills. It's fine.
Attaboy.
Yeah, no, we're good. We're good to get through almost baseball season.
So you're in a good mood, and I'm in a kind of a keep it real mood. This could be a pretty good podcast.
I don't know. I slept. Like, I seriously, I woke up, and I think it's the first time in so long where I just had a full night's sleep. I was like, okay, I'm human.
Do you ever do that deal where – so Rizzo's in a state where he has to get up and go – TT.
How sad is it you said that and I was thinking of the Cubs infielder and had a hard time remembering you had a dog for a second that was named that.
So he woke me up.
Like, I literally thought you meant Anthony Rizzo is in Wisconsin, a state. No. Go ahead.
He woke me up and I took him out and it was cold. And that kind of the cold air kind of woke me up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back in the bed, I just laid there for 2 hours.
Couldn't sleep.
Got on my phone, realized that this is not helping.
Yeah, actually the worst thing because of the light and everything.
Put the phone down, still couldn't sleep, and then probably fell asleep at 5:30, and then instantaneously, there's the alarm.
What time did it go off?
About 5:45.
Oh.
I was mad.
Yeah, I got up about 5:10 this morning, 5:15, but I went to bed really early. So yeah.
What time did you go to bed?
It was 9-ish, because yeah. I was kind of following SMU-TCU basketball, because Dylan was in Fort Worth last night, so I was following them, and then I went to sleep before it was over.
I watched Thunder Jazz, and when it ended, I was in bed.
I don't know that I watched anything last night. I don't know that I turned the TV on last night.
We're thoroughly pissing people off right now.
That's okay. We've done 2,000 shows. At this point, you're with us or you're not.
Damn it, get to it!
So, okay, here's where we are. As people know, this is as of last night at 8:30. If anything's happened since then the hell with it. We'll talk about it later. Not seniors can transfer. They can do whatever. They're free automatically. Just reiterating the point. A lot of those have already said they're staying. DeMarcus Lodge says he's hanging around for his senior year.
He was the one who was being recruited by another school.
Yeah.
Heavily.
And he says he's in. So.
He says he's in. So.
Okay. Permission to contact forms, the one that we reported Saturday, Shea Patterson had gotten on Friday.
Let me briefly interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is important.
Took a while.
This is important.
Uh-huh.
Those of you who are hung up on these guys being recruited all fall, you really are going to have to let that go. You're going to have to release that from your list of things that are causing you angst. Because not a damn thing's going to happen about it. Okay? Let it go. Accept it as a fact. You can be pissed off about it, but it's nothing is going to happen. If you want to get mad at this administration, I think there's plenty of reasons to get mad at it. That is not one. They would be wasting their time. These kids have been recruited since February.
A few years ago, when Penn State got hammered, Penn State about as blue blood as you can get in college football.
Yes.
There were literally coaches from other programs mingling in their parking lot.
Yes.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And ever since Ole Miss got the second NOA, people have been, truthfully, going back to draft night, Tunsil question gate night, it's been going on since then. These kids have been getting recruited by other schools. It's not the coach himself doing it. It's back channels. It's part of college football. I'm not saying this disrespectfully. I'm saying this for your mental health. Deal with it. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. So the difference, though, moving forward is that a kid does not become on a 1 to 10 scale of danger to transfer. A kid doesn't really pass over about a 6.5 until he asks for a permission to contact form.
Yes.
That allows schools and him to call each other and everything to be in the clear, kind of like yesterday when the Michigan plane came in and Harbaugh, I mean, all jokes aside, takes Deontay Anderson to breakfast and meets with Shea Patterson and all that stuff. So that is the key here. And as of last night, the permission to contact letter had been asked for by 6 players. Shea Patterson, Deontay Anderson, Jalen Julius, Trey Nixon, Jerrion Street, and Van Jefferson.
Okay.
Tom Mars had taken on at least 5 of those, maybe all 6, not sure, at least had some dealings with all 6. And those 6, you have to feel like, are leaving the program. Done. It is moving on. Mark them off your roster and be finished.
Agreed.
That's the way I feel with that. Going 1,000 different places here. So that's the that's the main point of where this thing is at. Also, from a timeline standpoint, these kids, there is no deadline. They could technically leave Ole Miss's program and enroll at another program as long as they get in class by the spring semester starting at that program.
So call it
anywhere from January 5th to January 25th, depending on the school.
Agreed.
Somewhere in that thing. So it's not like when the weekends and exams are over and they go home, there's some cut down date. If anything, when they go home, you got to deal with a different set of problems.
If you ask me, next week has the recipe to be wilder than this week because they're gone. Now they're not on your campus. They're back home with aunts and uncles and former high school coaches and such, and that's where the back channel communication can be far more direct. Hey, if he happens to be at the field house just coming by to say hello, about what time? About 10? I might call you at 10 just to say, hey, checking in on that 2021 running back you got. Oh, so-and-so's there? Tell him I said, hey, sorry about what's going on at Ole Miss. Sure wish he'd come to our place. We could have used him. Man, if we had him now. There's nothing illegal in that.
No, none at all. There's a lot of anger at Harbaugh yesterday. And look, Harbaugh, by personality, makes everything as public and uncomfortable for people as humanly possible.
Yep.
I get being pissed off at him. I get it. It was completely within his rights, however.
Absolutely.
He rubs everybody the wrong way. It's what he does.
Yeah. But him going to IHOP and meeting with kids that are getting ready to take an official visit to his campus who have filled out the proper form, it was nothing. Someone should go kick him out. For what? Why? This is where I'm different from a lot of other people in this. I think you and I are on different pages on this. I wouldn't fight waivers. In fact, I would support waivers. I would at this point say, if you don't want to be here, I get it. We'll let you out. If I'm Ole Miss, I can't turn this page fast enough.
Yeah, it's a little more complex for me as we shift into that for a couple of reasons. I wrote about this last night. So the background of yesterday is when Deonte Anderson asked for his permission to contact and release, it was a full release. It was no restrictions whatsoever.
Right.
Have at it.
Go for it.
When Shea and I'm assuming, well, I know for sure Van, because that was the one Pat Forty posted yesterday in the story, they had restrictions. The restrictions in the first draft of that release or permission to contact or whatever was all SEC schools and then any opponent that Ole Miss has in the regular season the next 2 years,
right.
Cal, Kent State, Louisiana Monroe, whatever. There's eight of them. You know what I mean? Whatever. Texas Tech. So.
Yes.
That was what was in that. Pat Forty's story yesterday centered on Jerrion Street's mother and then Van Jefferson's father being frustrated by the restrictions in the release, in the permission to contact, when Yahoo contacted Ole Miss for a statement or explanation. Ole Miss said that they had not heard from any of the kids being frustrated, but if they were, henceforth, those six kids would have unlimited releases and be able to do whatever they wanted to do. That was done around 12, 1 o'clock yesterday, something like that.
Which, just for something to keep an eye on, frees up LSU to recruit Shea Patterson.
Correct, yes. As I pointed out last night, I have no idea what will happen if a lot more kids jump in the boat. However, that was not a statement that said there's unlimited release for anyone. Now, they may end up being, but I'm just pointing out
right.
that language did not say that. That language was pertaining to those six individuals as of yesterday.
Okay.
Whatever that means. Might mean nothing, might mean everything. I don't know. I saw it in my antenna went up because it was very specific wording in that answer yesterday. Where you and I think, have our main difference on this is, and I'm in agreement with the first part. It just needs to be over for Ole Miss as fast as possible. If you're Ole Miss, if you're in the Ole Miss administration, you need Tom Mars and the transfer talk and all that to go away and let me resume normal operations as fast as humanly possible.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
the danger on the end that I differ from you on a little bit is Ole Miss is in a really tricky PR spot, also with its own fans, because there's a certain protect the program element that you do have to navigate in a way with your fan base that, frankly, doesn't have a lot of trust in you right now anyway.
No, they've lost.
So when you go completely free and go come raid our program, you're losing even more fan base trust. And you're setting a very, very weak precedent to your fan base.
Yeah.
So those things have to be intertwined in a way that is fairly difficult. Now, getting it over as fast as possible is rule A. But there are the other things involved with this, and that's where, you know, you and I were discussing Van Jefferson before we started the show this morning. Van has been one of the more vocal, his family has been one of the more vocal elements of the situation, not as vocal as another family, but obviously pretty vocal. Sean was a key person in Pat's story yesterday, saying that he was very frustrated by the restrictions and they felt lied to.
Sean Jefferson.
Yeah, Van's, sorry. Yeah, Van's yeah. Dad. Sean yeah. Jefferson. Sorry.
When you say Sean, it
yeah,
sends
yeah,
up.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, typically when I say Sean, I mean a Patterson. So
yeah.
Sean Jefferson. They're spelled differently. I should have.
Yeah.
Phonetically.
It's Big Sean, Little Sean,
Van Sean.
And then there's Van's Sean.
Yeah. An NFL wide receivers coach. He's the most interesting case for this for me because the 16 kids have to file for waivers. They were part of the group, though, that at least in their minds or whatever happened that weekend can go, hey, we asked about this. Ole Miss lied to us. We signed under false pretenses.
Well, even let me say this real quick. If and I'm tired of some of the Ole Miss people out there who do not want to blame Hugh Freeze for this. They want to blame everybody in the world, but don't want to blame Hugh Freeze. And I don't understand it. If Hugh Freeze stood up on a chair, I want to know this now. This is what I'm curious about. This is quoted in 40's story.
Yeah.
As much as I want to rip 40, I thought it was a fairly well-written story. I thought he took a couple of jabs. 40's pissed that 40 got lied to. I get it. Frankly, he needs to let it go and be more professional, but I get it. But that story was fine. He quoted someone saying...
I think it was Marion Street.
He quoted someone saying that Freeze stood up on a chair at that dinner and took questions and said Ole Miss would only lose a couple of scholarships, that it would not impact things at all. If that's what he said, he lied. He knew that that NOA, the first NOA, was a pretty solid document. That Ole Miss was guilty of virtually everything in that NOA and that they were going to lose more than a couple of scholarships from that NOA.
Would that penalty have been more than I don't want to fight the couple, but scholarships.
No, but it would have been more than two.
Well, yeah.
A couple is two.
Yeah, I get it.
And if you say to someone, we're only going to lose a couple of scholarships, you are saying we're only going to lose two scholarships.
Yeah.
If I say I'm going to give you a couple of donuts, you're expecting two donuts.
I am.
Not 11 donuts. Two donuts. That's a lie. And if he stood there and lied, some people need to be pissed off at Freeze for standing there and lying.
Yeah, because the two things on that, as we take it aside from Van for a second, is A, Ole Miss, I remember this from the time, Ole Miss gave Freeze a document to go by to explain to all the people what was happening.
Yep.
It had all the football allegations in it from the first NOA, what exactly was whatever and whatever. So, yeah, if that happened, that's on Hugh Freeze.
Yes.
It is absolutely on Hugh Freeze that he went, hey, I don't know, here's what I'm going to tell you. Let's move on with our day. Something along those lines.
Yep.
Two, It's the funny part of this. Neil and I talked about it yesterday, wrote about it a little last night, is it was certainly worse than two scholarships, but it wasn't this crater also that happened with the second NOA. This is really more of a national media comment.
Yeah.
They read this and they do this entire story all under the lens of the second NOA.
Yes.
Which didn't come out to a year later. So, no, they weren't lied to about immunity interviews and Leo Lewis and all that crap.
Right.
That was later.
Yes.
It wouldn't have been a crater that happen currently. So
agreed completely.
Those are the two things in that context that get really, really weird about this. Point being, back to Van.
Okay.
He was already on campus. He does not have the exact same situation as Jerry and Street, as Shea Patterson, no. as all those kids.
Right.
He has a different situation.
Jerry and Street's situation was literally they were on their way over here when the news broke.
Yes.
So it was the topic of conversation that weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Van, he is the piece of this in every way that interests me. Because when he files for a waiver, he can't say, well, I was lied to during recruiting. I was this, I was that. He has to just say, hey, look, this program fell apart while I was here, and I want to go somewhere else. That's his argument.
And there's another thing, too, and it came up subtly.
Go ahead.
In the 40 story.
Okay.
I can't remember which parent said it. I think it was the Streets, but don't hold me to it.
Okay.
About the God stuff. About we're going to take care of, he's a godly person, blah, blah, blah. And then all the other stuff happened. People bought that from him. It was a part of the recruiting pitch. The spiritual part of the program. It was a big part of their recruiting pitch. You know, some kids don't fit here. Remember that quote? Some kids won't fit here. It's a part of their pitch. And some of these kids, parents specifically, feel like they led their kid down the wrong path because they bought it. They drank that Kool-Aid. You with me?
Yeah, I'm listening. I was looking for the quote as you were talking. Okay. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, I don't remember who said it, but it's something about, he stood up there and he said this and he said that. There's two elements to this.
Here you go. Here's both the things we talked about in the same two paragraphs.
Okay.
During a recruiting dinner at the Inn at Ole Miss, both Marion Street and Hope, which is the stepfather, I believe, of Jerry, said Freeze stood on a chair to address the recruits, and Marion specifically asked him about the NCAA situation. She said Freeze responded that it was nothing to worry about. At another point during the weekend, Jerry and Marion and Nate, Jerry and sister, all spoke privately with Freeze and asked him again about the situation. Street said Freeze referenced his faith and said he was a man of his word and reiterated that it would not significantly affect her son. He mentioned the possibility of the Rebels losing a couple of scholarships. She said, but that was, quote, the worst thing that could happen. The second part in quotes, the first part not, but anyway, just for references I'm reading.
So when kids say they were misled, they were on a number of fronts. And so a kid like Van Jefferson, who chose Ole Miss over a lot of programs, and the truth is, not everybody in his camp, if you will, was for Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. There's some bitterness. It's why if I'm Ole Miss, I don't fight Van Jefferson at all. I give him a full release. And they have now, which they should have in the first place, in my opinion. Some of these kids, some relationships can be saved and some can't.
Yeah, you don't want a kid on your campus that doesn't want to be there. That causes many more problems than it is solving in any way. The interesting part for me is that, though, Van doesn't have that false pretense argument from a recruiting standpoint.
No.
Doesn't have that.
No.
So when he files for his waiver.
Except that weekend he's asking too.
He is. But that's a different deal, though.
It's different.
That kind of becomes a, hey, we're losing a lot of games and a coach left. I should be able to transfer. Like, it's kind of the same box as that. And that's I know you're very pro player, so you think they should all go to anytime they want to.
I am. Just for everyone to know this, I have always been this way. It's never going to change. I am. And it will only change if the kids get compensated. I am pro player.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Every player. I'm pro player. Yeah.
I think it's a more slippery slope than you do.
And I know you do. And I know you're right. But it doesn't change the fact that I am pro player.
Yeah. But the thing that's interesting about it is not only from a precedent standpoint, which I'm not sure those matter with NCAA, but from a precedent standpoint and just in general, Van, if he gets his waiver to play immediately, that is a very strong, interesting take, in my opinion, because that opens up a world of precedent-setting ability for kids to transfer under NCAA investigations, no matter what their age range is. So that is what I've kind of am following as this thing moves forward, and I found, not saying he won't, but I just find it very interesting moving forward.
This is one of the reasons I'm surprised Ole Miss stayed in-house on the coaching search, frankly. I'm reluctant to say this because it's going to come across as a criticism of Matt Luke. I think by this point, you understand that I'm not criticizing Matt Luke. But from a public relations turn the page standpoint, bringing in an outsider and a brand new staff who could have said to the kids, not the fans, the kids, I don't know what happened here. I frankly don't have time to find out. I want you to give me a shot. If the damage is done to the point that you simply can't stay here, we're going to open up a window. We're going to support you, help you in any way. But we have to have a window that has a closing date. Because when we get back here in January, we're going to turn the page. It's going to be a brand new era. And what happened in the past is in the past. We have to move on from it. From a PR standpoint, that's a much cleaner look. From a recovery standpoint, it's a much cleaner look.
Matt is put into a position where he's going to continue to have to answer questions and put in bad situations because of the staff he was on.
Matt's been put in a really almost impossible situation. The truth is Matt is way, 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 way under a weight of things to climb out. If Matt Luke is in 5 years a successful head coach at Ole Miss, it will be, and this is not a knock on Matt at all. I would say this almost about Saban at this point, had he been here for all of this. It will be an unbelievable success story.
Yeah. Take a break in the show to take the podcast brought to you by Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So that's about the float-down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or Jay Lowe, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a five-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. With Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Speaking of Oxford, if you live in and around Oxford and your kids want to play soccer in the spring, registration's ongoing for another 9 days or so. December the 15th is the deadline to sign up for OPC spring soccer. The season is February through April. Games played out at beautiful FNC Park. Registration for players who played in the fall, ages 5 to 16, boys and girls. Registration is $30 if you played in the fall. You can jump back on your team, same one you played on in the fall, and reunite for the spring. If you didn't play in the fall and you say, I want to play this spring, you can do it. $55 registration. It's a great program. My kids did it. You'll be happy with it as well. It's OxfordParkCommission.com.
So the thing to follow moving forward is really the permission to contacts, what happens with those each day, whether LSU decides they're going to park their jet out on the tarmac today.
The meltdown.
Yeah. Ed Orgeron going to chicken on a stick might be an issue in town today. Where is Ole Miss right now? We talked about this a little bit. If it's these six, it was mostly going to be natural attrition of this group no matter what, for the most part. Most of these guys were unhappy anyway before these sanctions came down on Friday.
Right. Sorry to interrupt again. I got someone messaging me saying the Michigan rival site is reporting that Little is visiting this weekend. Is that accurate?
I'll look. I don't know.
Okay. Because if that's the case, then the story is going to change dramatically. I don't know that to be true. The last I'd heard is that Greg had not requested
a permission to contact.
So, I don't know. We'll look into it, obviously. I didn't mean to. I just sabotaged my own show. Sorry.
He's in a list. There's a story up on the Michigan Rival site. Again, this is 8:49 a.m., so if something happens right after, it is what it is. We talk every day. He's in a list of seven names that the Michigan Rival site says could have interest in what's going on. The quote from that story, Little is a wild card. He's not decided if he wants to transfer and is playing things close to the vest to avoid backlash from Ole Miss fans, per the Michigan Rival site. Am I assuming that's from Shea Patterson or Sean Patterson, if you made me guess?
Yes.
That is my guess.
That's a strong guess.
My sleuth tendencies have a way of working out occasionally.
There's a pattern with the Pattersons. It's established.
Yeah. So,
I mean, how did Ole Miss get Shea Patterson? They offered his brother a job. The moment the Pattersons get unhappy at any point, they bolt. Committed to Arizona. We're going to go to LSU. Left Evangel for IMG. Come to Ole Miss. The little brothers moved.
Calvary.
Is it Calvary?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember. Evangel.
Whatever.
That's where Josh Booty played, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it was Calvary Christian, but anyway.
Yeah, you maybe you're right. Yeah.
You're the one that went there, not me.
I did go. I can't remember.
Go ahead.
The brothers moved a lot. I'm not making fun. I'm just, there's different kinds of dads. There's LeVar Ball, and there's not LeVar Ball. You know what I mean? There's the guy that drops his kid off at football practice and picks him up and hopes for the best and cheers for his kid. I frankly have more problems with the Pattersons than I do Sean Jefferson. Lost in all of this, there's also two perspectives, and if you're a dad out there, you know where I'm going. There's the fan in you that, by God, you're cheering for your team. I understand why Jerry and Street's parents, step-parents, whatever, are upset. Because the truth is, had they known this was the direction the program was going, that's not where they would have gone. And so, in their eyes, all they're thinking about is their kid. They're thinking about their son.
Yeah, they're not really worried about guidelines and shit like that right now.
Not at all. Yeah. They're thinking about their kid.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been a parent, you think about your kid. You don't think about all the other kids much. You're not trying to be mean about it, but you don't. You think about your kid. They think about their kid, their individual kid. What's in the best interest of their individual kid? And so when where did Jerry and Street want to go? He wants to go to Auburn.
Sure, he wanted to go the whole time.
And so when they put the release out that says you can't go to Auburn, well, whoa, wait, what? And my attitude from a football program standpoint is Jerry Street going to kill you if he goes to Auburn? Does it really matter over the next couple of years? And when I say that and people get mad, yes, Neil, the season matters. I get that the season matters, but it doesn't matter. Right now, what's more important? The small picture or the big picture? In my argument, it's the big picture. The bigger issue for Ole Miss is where are you in 4 years as opposed to where are you in 12 months? That's part of the risk in the hiring Matt Luke thing. You and I talked about this a minute ago. If next season goes well and they recruit great, and when I say well, I mean they just look like a good product on the field. 6-6, whatever, but look solid. And they have a great recruiting class. This 2019 recruiting class is going to unfairly define Matt Luke's administration one way or the other. It's not fair to judge any one coach by one recruiting class. That recruiting class is going to define him. Because if next season doesn't go so well and then they have a great recruiting class, that great recruiting class is going to pull you through a bad 2019. If next season doesn't go so well and they don't win big on the recruiting trail in 2019 and then 2019 on the field is bad and the stadium's emptying out, I don't know that he can recover from that. That's where the whole thing is. That's why if I'm Ole Miss, I got to get past this. I've got to turn this page. I've got to change the atmosphere around my program. I've got to get this front that is kind of stalled. I've got to figure out a way to get it through. You got to hope that there's sunshine on the back end of this storm, and you got to get the storm through so the sun can come out.
Brought up Greg Little. We'll answer that question when we can on if he's asked for the PTC or any of that. That's kind of where I was going. Two things on him. First, on where this thing is right now. I said a lot of this has been natural attrition to this point. Guys are probably going to leave the program anyway. There's some other names that might pop up in the coming days that add to this. If it's six guys and it's this six guys, Ole Miss would call that a win all day.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge all victory. Day. Just move on, yep.
If this thing does one of two things, it is a complete loss. Two things. If this total number, no matter who they are, gets up around 10 or more, they just start losing too many bodies. At some point, it's not even necessarily about the talent or whether they were going to help or whether they were on the depth chart. It's that you become a Division I AA team because you don't have enough human beings to stand around and take blows.
And from a PR standpoint, one of the things that was used to defend a hire was this
roster together.
This is what is the path to stability. Well, if you get up into double-digit losses, it doesn't look stable.
Yeah. So,
and again, that's not fair to him, but it is what it is.
That's part of this. Now, quickly as an aside to that, because this is all a little complicated. A couple of these guys leaving now that weren't going to helps Ole Miss because they can sign more people.
Right.
It doesn't help. Look, Ole Miss is still losing those four scholarships. That is, 21 is the new 25 for Ole Miss. However, Ole Miss didn't have many seniors. So they couldn't sign a full allotment this year anyway. By that total roster number falling, it allows them to sign more people in the mid-year, get people into the program. So if guys are leaving, no matter what the number is, Ole Miss needs that to happen right now. They do not need those kids to stall and make this more complicated from a recruiting standpoint. So there could be some benefit in this as it goes. The other thing is if the top players start to leave, that affects you in a lot of ways, too. That's where we're getting. I mean, Greg Little does leave.
Yes.
Miles Hart's, I'm just throwing names out, guys. Jalen Jones, that kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just examples. That's all I'm saying. If that happens.
Parham reports.
Yeah. If that happens, that also affects you in those ways. So that's the thing to watch the next few days. I don't know. Neil's right. When they all go home, it's going to be a different animal. There are positives and negatives to the current situation, but the negatives are pretty big. Guys can just show up at the Bill House, show up at your house, call you constantly when you're not around some of the other teammates and different things. So, because I mean, Michigan's been pretty brazen in this throughout the process. So
4 months.
Yeah. So just prepare for that portion of this story.
A little breaking news. Go ahead. Not Ole Miss related.
Yeah.
Not yet. Barrett Salee and others reporting that South Carolina has fired offensive coordinator Kurt
correct.
Roper.
That is correct.
Brian McClendon will call plays in the Outback Bowl.
That is correct. Yes. Is that it?
The other piece of news comes from Ken Rosenthal. At 53, Rafael Palmeiro seriously considering a comeback.
Oh, you're being serious?
Yeah, I swear.
Have they changed the steroid policies?
I haven't read the story. I will peruse it later and let you know.
Okay.
He's not played since 2005.
Oh, yeah, he'll be good to go. That's fine. It's the Herm Edwards of baseball transactions. podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, where you get your sildenafil. You go online, you fill out the form, and it'll be at your door in no time, as they'll deliver it to you if you're not local. It's the $10 version of that $50 or $60 little blue pill. You can have you ready in as little as 15 minutes. That's why they call it the 15-minute quickie. Same length of effectiveness as the other guys with TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. Give Romero Miller, State Farm, a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, he challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason to give Romero a call, go to Google. Enter Romero Miller State Farm in the little search thingy, and then read the reviews. And then if you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, call Romero. Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders, one very easy online application, rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts to $100,000, credit scores down to 580. They will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben, 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. It's a $500 savings. Call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800.
Oh, a couple things on this Michigan front as we move forward. The players that they are recruiting currently are Shea Patterson, Van Jefferson, Deontay Anderson, Brian Dixon, Jacob Mathis, Bryce Matthews, and Greg Little. Those are the seven that Michigan appears to be pursuing the hardest. Mathis and Little are tight. Might be part of that. Again, Anderson and Patterson kind of connected. And then Dixon, Matthews, and Van. Van almost went to Michigan anyway out of high school. So
yeah.
It's kind of where that is right now. I kind of forgot to mention that a second ago. So, Josh Heupel hired at Central Florida. Thought this was kind of interesting. Interesting part of the contract here. He will receive 25% of the season ticket growth from 2017 onward. So, if he markets the program and increases season tickets, gets a quarter of the revenue.
Wow.
It's an interesting contract move there, isn't it?
You almost wonder if that's going to be
one of the new perks. Because of stadiums and the way things are going, you go, hey, you bring people in the park here, and we'll hook you up.
Well, because, you know, when a coach gets let go, one of the things they say is, hey, there's just not enough people here anymore.
Now, Frost is the opposite. He had them roaring in Orlando. Probably not a lot of room to increase sales, frankly.
He had it going, man. He did a great job. And from all accounts, really handled the whole coaching thing well, too. The search.
Does he stay if Central Florida had been in the playoff discussion where he had any belief they could actually make it and moving forward?
You can't turn down that offer from Nebraska.
The money, yeah.
It's life-changing money. $35 million. Guaranteed.
Is that what it was, five a year?
Yeah, 5 a year for 7 years.
It's a long
deal.
This is a question I don't know the answer to. Does the dead period involve these kids?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would think so, but I don't know that. But I would think so.
Do they have to follow recruiting calendar restrictions?
My guess is yes, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. When do you think it calms down?
Oh, I think the decisions to leave are made in the next week, whatever they are. I mean, if you're going to leave, leaving involves planning. Let's take Deontay Anderson, for example. You've got to find a place to live in Ann Arbor. You've got to get your stuff to Ann Arbor. You've got to get all your transcripts to Ann Arbor. This isn't a decision that you put off, and on January the 16th, you go, okay, I'm going to go. So you got to go ahead and do it. And truthfully, this is why I think next week, if there's no horrible news by the end of next week, you've probably survived it. Also, it's real easy. Let's use Greg Little as an example, and I'm using him as nothing but a hypothetical. It'd be a lot easier to pull the trigger on this when you're home in Texas than it would be when you're here. You get home, you're surrounded by your support system. You don't have to deal with the coaches except for a phone call.
Yeah, there's no face-to-face at that point.
It's easy to go, hey, I'm out. Slip back into Oxford under the cover of darkness and get your stuff out and get out. Or pack up your stuff now without them knowing you're packing it up and get out. Again, I've not heard anything about Greg, so I'm using him as a worst-case scenario. But if that decision's going to be made, he's probably making it next week.
Yeah, he has not been vocal in either direction publicly.
No, and I'm not going to
read it. Some of the other ones have. He has not.
Yes. But I'm sure he's being recruited by both. I'm sure for him this week, let's say that he's not planning to leave, this week can't end fast enough.
Get home and be done with it, yeah.
Texas will never look better than it will look to him Saturday or Sunday to just get home and get away from all that. I'd be inclined to throw my phone into a nearby lake and just go get a new one with a new number.
He's had nothing on Twitter other than retweeting a lot of his own accolades, and he commented on somebody's post and said, anytime, hottie toddy, 22 hours ago. Those are the only replies from Greg Little on social media that I can find.
I bet his phone's a nightmare.
Probably feels a lot like it did January of a few years ago.
Yeah, I would be. It'd be real tempting for me to say, hey, I think I'm going to run and get a new phone, get a new number here, say goodbye to that number.
Well, this is me. I can't speak for Greg, whatever. If I'm not leaving, I'm coming out as vocal as possible so they leave me alone.
Sure.
I mean, that could have been part of the other AJ thing is, dude, leave me alone.
Oh, very possible that he was like, hey, this is not what I want to do with my
Christmas break.
Christmas break is answer these calls.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. Okay.
Respect my decision, no interviews.
Yeah, he's probably still getting calls, but it's fewer.
Sure.
Than it would have been otherwise. His tweet was pretty good the other night when College Football Talk or whatever had him visiting Michigan, and he just wrote back and said, AJ Brown ain't going nowhere. Okay.
In that.
Yeah.
You talk about worst case. Where worst case gets is that enough guys leave that a kid like AJ Brown goes, wait a minute. I don't think we're going to get there, honestly. I think the truth is going to be somewhere in the middle. I'm always pretty consistent about the truth being somewhere in the middle. Truth is probably going to end up being somewhere in the middle. There are going to be defections. It's going to hurt some. But I suspect in January it'll all be over.
In other SEC news, Chad Morris to the University of Arkansas, supposed to be announced today, I believe.
If you've been listening to the Oxford Exxon podcast, this is not news to you.
Yeah.
We told you this was probably coming.
We had what, a little birdie?
We had a birdie.
Air.
Yeah.
Flying birdie.
Birds fly.
They thought this was a possibility. Probability.
Had a decent source.
Yeah.
Had a decent source that Gus was going to work things out at Auburn.
Taggart was going to Florida State.
Taggart was going to go to Florida State, which might have been one of the reasons why Taggart and Ole Miss never really got off the ground. probably because knew there's pretty good chance Jimbo was leaving to go pet the collie. Can't pet a collie in Tallahassee. You got to go to College Station to do it.
It's almost like there was a puppet master pulling strings.
It's almost like
a marionette that. pulling in certain directions.
Geppetto.
Yes. Phonetically close.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. Almost. It's almost that way.
It is really good to be some people in this world.
It is. It is good to be Geppetto.
Yes.
When I was a kid, Hillcrest Elementary,
uh-huh.
We did our school play, was Pinocchio, and I was Geppetto. I had to sing. I was awesome. I had to put powder in my hair to make it silver. It was phenomenal. One of the life peaks.
I don't know what 11:15 or 12:15 or 1 or 2 will bring. As of 9 a.m. this morning, Greg Little has not asked for a petition for permission to contact form.
What's today, Wednesday?
Yeah.
Probably isn't going to.
Don't know. That's where we are as of whatever time it is. My battery's almost out of my computer, so I had to close it. So, Morris to Arkansas.
Real quick, let me tell you, the podcast brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used them for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work is second to none. Comer's an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Last but not least, the podcast brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Great service on lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Ole Miss Volleyball on a roll after their sixth straight home game to advance to the Final Four of the Women's NIVC postseason tournament. The Rebels will entertain a national semifinal game in the NVIC on Saturday at the Gillum Center. We'll get you some details on that later today, tomorrow. It's finals week for the basketball programs. The men take on Middle Tennessee Saturday at in Murfreesboro. The women are off to a 7-1 start. They play again on Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Pavilion against the Jaguars of South Alabama.
Ooh, South Al, huh?
Yep.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Even though the temperatures are starting to fall, great time to think about your lawn care for the coming year. You get a free quote at MasterCut at 662-607-7773. Or MasterCutsLawn.com. They've been servicing my yard for a while. You should give them a chance as well. You can get your fence lines cleared up. Got any leaves hanging around in these this December month. Or if you need to build an outdoor living area, a fence, or other structure to help your landscaping out. MasterCuts.com or MasterCutsLawn.com. Again, 670-7773. So, Chad Morris at Arkansas, where are you rating it? 1 to 10.
Oh, it's a 3.
Ooh, low. He's not going to get into Texas like they think he's going to.
No.
Because Arkansas is just going to struggle in Texas.
So he's going to play that wide-open style of offense, and it's hard to get those kinds of players there because they don't exist.
Ooh, he's got to try to run that at Arkansas.
His transition schematically is going to be brutal.
The roster was built exactly the opposite direction.
Yeah, and they're going to spread it around, and they're going to have a lot of quick three and outs. He was not the choice one. Arkansas is what happens when boosters get a hold of your program. Boosters don't have big vision. Boosters are too emotional. Boosters screw you up when they make decisions. Boosters don't like hearing that. There are probably some boosters out there listening to that saying, "You don't know Jack. I make 20 times more money than you do," and you're right. And when you run your company, you don't make emotional decisions. You make pragmatic decisions. That's why you make so much money. That's why your business is so successful. That's why you're such a strong businessman. your business sense goes out the freaking window when the school colors get in front of your face and you become an emotional little schoolgirl making emotional decisions that wreck your program. And Arkansas did that. Arkansas most certainly did that.
After they had boosters fighting boosters.
They had boosters fighting boosters because what they wanted was to bring home Gus Malzahn because he's from Arkansas, which is a really stupid reason to hire somebody. And so they went a month. They raised fan expectations. They waited Gus Malzahn out, and Gus Malzahn and Jimmy Sexton played him like a fiddle, turned it into a $50 million contract at Auburn. And now you're left scrambling for a coach, and you hire the guy from SMU that, frankly, nobody else wanted. It's not going to go well.
Tennessee, second interviews with Jeremy Pruitt, Kevin Steele, and someone else that is slipping my mind right now.
It's the guy at Georgia. Isn't that funny? I forget his name, too. Mel Tucker.
Okay.
Mel Tucker.
So those are the three. We're up to, like, what, number 19, 20, and 21 now for Tennessee?
Yeah, ball for life.
I think they're still making money on their team sites.
Probably started to slow down, except that's the place where people can go bitch.
Yeah.
Wes Rucker and I had a little.
Need an outlet?
Yeah. Wes said, yeah, right now it's money, money, money. He said, but, you know, when the reality comes, it'll all even out.
Yeah. Probably so.
Chaos sells to a point.
Well, chaos turns into catastrophe after a while.
Yes.
And then it.
They might be there.
Yeah. But a crazy offseason in the SEC, and it's not quite over yet. That great early signing period's in about 2 weeks, though. 2 weeks to the day, I think.
If I'm a kid, unless I know I'm going to that school no matter what.
Yeah, no thank you. I'm good.
I'm saying I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll wait.
No thank you.
Because if you decide in the month of January that you don't want me, okay. Mm-hmm. The only way I'm doing that is if I know I'm going to school X no matter what, or if school X is my only offer, then I lock myself in and lock them in. Otherwise, nope. I'll wait. Merry Christmas.
The chance to play golf with Neil McCready, the bids in tonight. He's still going to donate, but we had a schedule conflict with one of the leading bids, the person that had bid $500. It's still going to donate, but had fallen out of the bid process. So the second bid back down to $250. So if you'd like to jump in with Neil McCready, it's going to take a little bit to take the top spot, $1,000 leading our bid process. But $250 is the second bid that would get in the group with Neil McCready a week from today, December 13th.
It would take 251, right?
It would, yes. Yeah. At 10 a.m. next week. So please donate to our page. It's linked at rebelgrove.com. It's linked on our Facebook page.
It's going to be cold.
If you're making a straight donation, go ahead and do that. If you're pledging, email me at chase.parm@gmail.com. Give me your amount per stroke, and then you'll be able to add that to our St. Jude page once the once the time comes and we know Neil's illustrious final score from that event.
You've had a couple of people a dollar a stroke, right?
I got a lot of dollar a strokes. I got one guy that's doing a dollar a stroke and $2 a lost ball. I talked to Jonathan Randolph yesterday to get everything sorted out with Jonathan. He's going to hang around. He's going to yuck it up with everybody. He's going to hit a few shots, some just to hit them, some for Neil's sake. He thinks that you'll probably lose, give or take, 20 golf balls is the guess. Somewhere around 20, just over one ball a hole the guess. That's probably about right.
Meaning he gets in the rough and we just can't find it.
Well, no. If it was summer, we'd up that considerably because the winter, the Bermuda is not up as much, so it's much easier to find balls in the rough. Your problem is just in the woods, in the water, in those type of areas. I think if we just lose balls on the course, you're okay. We'll find those.
The high next Wednesday
is 47 degrees.
47 degrees.
Yes.
The knickers aren't going to happen.
What are you wearing?
I don't know.
Something warmer.
Something a lot warmer.
Yeah, but you can't restrict your flexibility.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I mean, that might really change your game if you dress really too good. Warmly where So, I don't know. It'll be fun. We're going to have a good time helping a great cause with St. Jude. But, yeah, we're guessing you're going to need about 24 golf balls as the guest for this event. So, thanks to Callaway for that, by the way. And we will – oh, man. It's going to be good. You have no expectation, really, so that's one thing.
I mean, I anticipate that I will get under 300.
Well, hell, if you don't, we're going to have to stop because of darkness. I mean, you're only going to have 7 hours of daylight, Neil.
My approach is probably going to be walk up and hit it. Uh-huh. I'm not going to stand and look at it a lot.
If there's one area that you think you will be surprised by how you play in a positive way, what is it?
There's not one.
Is there really not one?
No.
You don't anticipate putting better than you thought or getting off the tee a little better than you anticipated?
No, not really.
It's like your one danger right now when we actually need to fix in the next week is it's a lot different hitting a ball on a driving range versus on a tee box.
Yeah.
So hitting a ball onto the course is necessary, I think, a little bit here.
I would like to remind you that at one point when I agreed to be your little guinea pig, I was told that we might have a dry run, if you will.
That's fine. We can.
I probably need to arrange some sort of dry run.
To hit some balls around a golf course.
To play on a golf course.
Yeah, just to see.
Just to experience.
It's a little different than just standing on the rain hacking balls down there.
Right. I mean, harder. I did okay at the hacking.
You did. It was
not bad. It was not good, but it was not bad.
Well, you'll be impressed. So I walked up yesterday to Jonathan, and I said, hey, what'd you think? He goes, you know, his action really wasn't that bad. And I thought,
no.
Oh, yeah. See, that's, you know.
I mean, I'm not the most athletic guy in the world, but I'm not the least athletic guy in the world either. No. I'm not in the best shape in the world, but I'm not in the worst shape in the world.
Your problem is going to be as you get closer to the green.
Yes, there's a decent chance.
Stopping the ball on the green and then getting the ball in the hole.
Now, will the cold impact the greens at all?
In what way?
Anyway, make it faster, slower?
I mean, typically they're a little slower this time of year, but that's more of just they're going to cut them different, you know, how often you cut because the ground's frozen.
Should I hope
stuff.
For some rain ahead of it?
No. You do not want rain. You need roll. If it rains, every time the ball hits, it's going to stop. So you're going to have to play the whole course in the air.
Oh, good God.
No, you won't dry.
Okay.
No, you want this thing as dry and fast as humanly possible.
Well, there's no rain.
Actually, no rain until then.
Until the day after right now.
Oh, we don't need that to pop up.
No.
Need that to stay. That desperately needs to stay on Thursday. So.
Going to get chilly here starting tomorrow. Oh, high of 46, 43, 49, 48, 59, 49, 47. That's chilly.
Yeah. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time. So, appreciate everybody for that. Stay locked in rebelgrove.com as we move forward with this segment of Ole Miss's situation. So for Neil, Chase, talk to you tomorrow.